Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee.
Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may, above all things, seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church, open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 14, beginning at the 15th verse. The parable of the great banquet. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, Blessed are those who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, Come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I have just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became very angry and ordered his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, What you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So together we affirm our faith. I believe in one God. The Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In this morning's reading, we have the parable of a great banquet. It's a story about a wealthy man who wishes to share a feast with his friends. But as the time arrives, each invitee cries off. The host is upset by this, but with everything prepared, he instead invites, indeed insists, that a number of less fortunate people attend and the celebration goes ahead. So, one thing you may not know about me is that I'm a rather classic introvert. That sounds a bit silly saying that here now, as I'm speaking to you. It slightly reminds me of a couple of comedy characters from an old Harry Enfield show, the Doubletake Brothers, who would find themselves in situations that they were suddenly surprised and perplexed by. Well, anyway, I am an introvert, and whilst I'm not entirely comfortable doing this, what I find really difficult, what really panics me, what is horror of horrors, is parties, and in particular, small talk. As the writer Caitlin Moran said, I'm not good at small talk. I will hide in a cupboard to avoid chitty-chatty. So, you can imagine I have some sympathy with the guests in today's story. Need a last-minute excuse to avoid a social occasion? I've got your back. However, I think today's reading has as much to do with my own flaws as it does to some of the things we've seen in the recent pandemic, actually. You'll know, of course, that one of the hardest hit areas within the pandemic has been the tourism industry, and in particular, hotels. You'll also remember, of course, that at the beginning of the pandemic, one of the things we did in this country was we put a lot of people who didn't have a home into hotels. And what a great thing that was. So the normal guests could not come, and instead a number of less fortunate people were able to attend instead. There's even a really good story on the BBC website about a couple who run a hotel who actually have decided to invest and start working with homeless people as a result of their experiences during the pandemic. I'll pick up on both these themes, introverts and hoteliers, as I go along. However, first of all, let me just say a little bit more about the context of today's reading. This story is unique to Luke, but there is a similar story in Matthew. The story in Matthew involves a wedding celebration, and at the wedding celebration, actually, one of the guests is not meant to be there and is thrown out at the end. And the other difference is that the servants who invite the guests of a wedding are actually mistreated, even to the point of death. This aside, many of the key elements are the same. So in Luke, this story, this parable, follows two key bits of information. First, Jesus talks about rejection of God by Israel. And secondly, he talks about the need to give hospitality and care, not simply to friends or people that can repay the hospitality, but actually to people who aren't able to repay the hospitality, people who are in need, and then there is a sense that the reward comes from heaven. These points, as I'm sure you'll know, are all part of the glorification and the grace of God through the death of Christ on the cross. And this is, of course, what I'll be building towards today. Of course, in today's reading, the most common understanding is that the host is God the Father, the servant is Christ, the original guests are the Jewish authorities or Israel or God's chosen people, and then the crippled, the lame, the blind, the secondary guests are the Gentiles, are non-Jews. So, what are the key themes for the reading? First of all, God has plans. Plans for a great banquet with many guests. This is no small undertaking. In earthly terms, this is not an informal get-together of close friends. It's not a meeting of very few. It would take planning and, most importantly, it would involve cost. In terms of the process, invitations requesting RSVP would have actually been sent out days or even weeks in advance. At the point at which we join the story, the meal is prepared, the meat is cooked, the table is laid, everything is ready. 2 points to make on this. First of all, this is not, as I mentioned earlier, this is not the first that the guests know about this party. Had they wished not to attend, they could have made their excuses days, weeks, maybe even months beforehand. This would have, of course, saved the host considerable trouble and expense. Secondly, by all of the guests turning down the response, the invitation, at the same time, it feels like this is a coordinated attempt to embarrass, ridicule, and maybe even ostracise the host. In saying this, Jesus is delivering a very powerful message to the religious authorities of the day. He's accusing them of willfully and knowingly rejecting God. They're accused of coming together to protect the status quo, in the misguided belief that their own union will be strong enough, will suffice. Moreover, they will bring down with them a number of Jews, a number of people who look to them for leadership. Take a moment to think about how serious a charge that actually is. Now consider, to what extent do we do the same? Deliberately turning our backs on God, pretending that our existence is not reliant on his generosity, and hoping instead that things will carry on much as they have done. Do we act like the original guests in the story? So sure of our coveted places in society, so convinced of our security, and unwilling to admit that it all relies upon the generosity of God. As C.S. Lewis wrote, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you cannot see that is above you. The second point I wish to make concerns responses of the guests. They all turn down the servant, offering excuses around purchases of field and oxes and getting married. Now, as an introvert, I have been tempted to come up with some excuses from time to time, but I can tell you, even by first century AD standards, these excuses, these reasons are really poor. They're completely lame. Who on earth buys a field without looking at it first? Who buys ox without checking that they're okay first? How does a marriage prevent you from attending a social function? I'm sorry, I'm married now. I don't go out anymore. Weird. The excuses, the reasons do show the guests to be people of considerable means. It's almost as if these excuses are designed to give even more insult, to provoke even more hurt. But that's not the main point here. The main point is a little bit closer to home. What barriers do we put up to prevent us from attending to God? What do we think is more important? If not a field, then what about our house? If not oxen, then what about our career? It's a real temptation to push our God-bothering down the to-do list, to elevate more earthly and mundane concerns, and quite frankly, it is laughable. We deliberately fail in the one thing we're called to do, and then we try to hide our shame. Sometimes we pretend it's all mumbo-jumbo. After all, Our mistakes don't matter if the rules are all make-believe anyway. It feels like an easy get-out. However, here's the clincher. God doesn't exist or not exist because we believe he does exist or does not exist, if that makes sense. He either exists or he does not exist. Your belief, my belief, doesn't matter a jot to that. If I speed on the motorway and worry that I was flashed by a camera, my doubting whether or not the camera exists, whether or not the camera caught me, will not materially affect whether or not the camera does exist or whether the camera did or did not catch me. Likewise with God, pretending he does not exist will not make rejection of the invitation any less stupid. I can't quite believe I'm doing this, but to quote Ricky Gervais, the existence of God is not subjective. He either exists or he doesn't. It's not a matter of opinion. You can have your own opinions, but you cannot have your own facts. Indeed, rejection of the host brings me on to my next point. The host is angry and the host is hurt. This is understandable. The banquet is important to him. It has cost him time, expense, and inviting people has made him vulnerable. For God, the invitation has cost much, much more. It has cost him the life of his son. It has cost him rejection by his own creation. It has even overturned the old order of things. God is just, and justice may from time to time require controlled anger. Anger is invariably replaced or subsumed by love, but anger nonetheless has a purpose. Think of Christ turning over the money changers in the temple. He loves us no less, but anger was necessary at that moment. Or perhaps think of a parent chiding their child for being uncareful around traffic. Sometimes an angry word can accomplish far more than many calmer words can. However, all of this is underpinned by love. In this instance, of course, we're reminded that there is a permanence to the guest's decision not to attend. They will never get a bite. There are consequences to our actions, and there may be a time when we receive just one more opportunity to accept God's invitation. The final point I wish to make concerns the love that flows from the host's hurt and anger. Instead of abandoning his plans and throwing out the food, the host invites those who are not on the original guest list, not just those not on the list, but those outside of good society, the type of people one simply would not want to associate with under any circumstances. Under the law, these people were considered unclean, but they may well also have been smelly, repulsive, untrustworthy, maybe even dangerous. The host sees it better to have his house full and the food enjoyed than to give up on things entirely. As God hosts, the Father looks at us in the same way. We were not the original plan, and we were not on the original guest list. Moreover, we are spiritually unclean. Smelly, repulsive, untrustworthy, definitely, and sometimes downright dangerous. However, we are also loved. That love is strong enough to drive Christ to his death. It is entirely, entirely unfathomable. It is the grace of God that seeks us out in the dark alleys and the remote country lanes and compels us to come home and to be part of God's celebration. Just like the hotelier couple I mentioned at the beginning, there is a new direction, and it is very much to the benefit of those who were previously outcast. John MacArthur said, "God is more willing to save sinners than sinners are to be saved." I think this story makes that point. Or how about Mike Iaconelli, who says, "The grace of God is dangerous. It's lavish, it's excessive, outrageous, and scandalous. God's grace is ridiculously inclusive. Apparently, God doesn't care who he loves. He is not very careful about the people he calls his friends or the people he calls his church." And so, you might be a miserable, unsociable git, just like me. You might be a scared, spiritually crippled recluse, just like me. You might be hopelessly lost, and sometimes so blind that you've given up believing in the light, just like me. You might have made so many mistakes, repeatedly and selfishly, that the weight of thinking about them hurts, just like me. Well, I've got some good news. Grab your coat, we've got a party to go to. Just try to avoid the small talk.
If you would like, as a mark of discipleship, to make a donation to support the ministry of this church, you are able to do so via our website. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Father, all things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Let us pray for the whole state of Christchurch Militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle hast taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and especially thy servant Elizabeth, our queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed. And grant unto her whole council, and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And in a moment of silence, we lift up before God those he has particularly laid on our hearts. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants, departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good example, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith. And take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who with his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
And so we pray together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us.
Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. When the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me.
Amen.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul into everlasting life. Take and eat this, in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart, by faith, with thanksgiving.
Amen.
The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this, in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful.
Amen.
As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end.
Amen.
Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.